Canada's alphabet soup of financial credentials has repeatedly been criticized for its complexity. There's CFA, CFP, MFDA, and all those random letters can make things very confusing. So much so, the 2018 Ontario budget includes a plan to develop a framework for financial planners that restricts certain titles. This alphabet soup of titles can often be a barrier to understanding the role of different types of financial advisors. Here to tell us more is finance expert Naheed Gilani. He joins us from Calgary, Alberta. Hello there.
How are you, Bruce?
First things first, what titles do you hold? What letters get to tag onto the end of your name on your card?
Oh, boy. Well, I did the CIM and the FCSI. I've done the CFA. I've done the CFP. I've lost track by now.
That's a lot. Now, we're a national show, but I do want to reference the Ontario plan is to develop a framework for financial planners, some restrictions, some rules and stuff. What do you think are some of the pros and cons of the regulatory bodies weighing in on who can call themselves what?
Well, right now, there's a lot of burden on the client or the consumer to navigate all these titles, and I applaud the regulatory bodies for trying to create some clarity so people can have more confidence in the advice they're seeking. However, you know, with all of the titles out there, all the different bodies, I think we need, you know, more consistency in who regulates what and some coming together of those organizations. Right now, we've got regulatory bodies in each province. And as you said, we've got IROC, we've got MFDA. The list goes on with who's in this game.
And the title financial advisor, the term financial advisor, anybody can say.
You're right. And there's some confusion around that, too. Financial advisor with an ER at the end has references in the Securities Act, but yet there's a lot of confusion.
The designation that probably has the broadest application for those people seeking financial planning services is the CFP. Would that be fair?
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So certified financial planner, there are, there's a Financial Planning Standards Council, there's requirements. It's not an easy designation to get. What should a consumer know about the CFP?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to note that depending on the stage of your life, the credentials you might want to look for will vary. Now, for many Canadians who care about the plan and holistic thinking, we'll look for a certified financial planner. I believe it takes about 2 years to get through that program. And there's a body of knowledge available online that anyone can look at. And, you know, they can contact me as well for some of the links to see exactly what that program entails. But I'm definitely a supporter of that program. And it definitely is quite all-encompassing from a planning perspective.
Now, for someone who works branch level in a, you know, in a traditional bank, they might have the CFP, but they also might not and might have what's called an MFDA license. Tell our listeners about what that license allows them to do and what the difference is between someone who's MFDA licensed and someone who has a CFP, for example.
That's a great question. So MFDA certainly focuses on mutual funds, which for many people can be the right fit. There's some tax efficiencies if you've got certain kinds of mutual funds, which can be helpful drawing up retirement plans. But they can also be restrictive if your portfolio starts to get larger and you need access to individual securities, such as stocks and bonds. Now, another thing to keep in mind is a lot of branch staff would also look at the PFP, and a lot of bankers seem to be drawn to the personal financial planner designation, which can be a path into getting the CFP.
How does a PFP differ from a CFP?
That's a great question. So the PFP has a variety of courses. I believe through the Canadian Securities Institute is one route you can take it. And I believe you can get an exemption of one of the CFP parts through doing the PFP. It just seems that the bankers have had a preference for that program. And then I see CFP more with independent financial planning organizations.
Then the other big one's the CFA, the Chartered Financial Analyst. Tell us about that.
So that is certainly a global standard, probably the most rigorous program out there in the investment management space. It can take from 3 to 5 years on average. 30 to 40% of people pass each level. So if you fail each level once, you can see pretty quickly how the numbers whittle down. There's three levels, and the first two levels, I would argue, are more in the corporate finance sphere. Level three, however, really digs deep into investor psychology, behavioral finance, putting together investor policy statements, which, by the way, I think are a critical element for every advisor to provide a client.
How does one decide what is important and what designation they should seek?
So, you know, like I said earlier, Bruce, it really depends on the stage of life, how much you have to invest. But I think having a title is better than having someone with no titles. Licensing is very important. Titles are on top of that. So I think if you are looking towards retirement, knowing that somebody has their certified financial planner designation would be a really great starting point. If you have a portfolio with $1 million or more, you will often end up with a chartered financial analyst if you're using an investment counsel. But I would certainly look for people to look for a title over no title.
Mm. There's the designation, and then there's the absolutely unregulated use of terms like vice president, senior vice president, executive vice president. How should an informed consumer look at those words attached to the business card?
That's a really great question. Titles are overused, no doubt, and vice president is something that senior employees might be given. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean they're an officer of the company. So people should be very careful, you know, thinking of the person they deal with as a vice president in the traditional sense of vice president.
You have spent most of your career in large traditional financial services companies. Do you have cynicism about these designations, given that experience?
Well, not so much the designations. I think more about the teeth and the power of the regulatory bodies to enforce what they need to. The Canadian Securities Administrators oversees a lot of the provincial-based regulatory groups. And, you know, it's kind of been noted that there's some deficiencies in IIROC getting things done as quick as they need to from everything I've read. There's also the challenge for IIROC to enforce fines, even when they've gone through the correct channels. So I think designations really show the commitment of an advisor or investment professional, let's call it, to further their abilities to help Canadians. Now, again, who are they registered with? That makes all the difference. And does that regulatory body give clients protection? And what recourse do they have if the funds are not managed in accordance with requirements.
Interesting. Naheed, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Naheed Ghalani joined us from Calgary, Alberta, to talk about some of the crazy designations that are out there in the financial market. Not an easy task to understand them all.